It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A hearing is being held today by Pittsburgh area Congressman Tim Murphy, focusing on breaches in protocol established by the Centers for Disease Control to prevent the spread of Ebola in the United States. A growing pool of Americans may have been exposed to the virus in recent weeks, including on a Frontier Airlines flight that originated in Cleveland. A second healthcare worker who had tended to Thomas Eric Duncan, the man who died from Ebola in Dallas, was herself stricken with the disease and had taken a round-trip flight earlier this week between Dallas and Cleveland. While chances are low, what are area facilities doing to prepare for the possibility of an Ebola infection in Pittsburgh? I'm joined now by phone by Karen Hacker, director of the Allegheny County Health Department. Karen Hacker, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
There have been reports of people in Pittsburgh who are feeling ill or finding that they are running a temperature, showing up at area hospitals and emergency rooms because they are worried they may have become infected with the Ebola virus. What is your reaction to this?
Well, in general, we are definitely trying to quell any anxieties and to decrease the rumors. And to date, it's important for folks to know that we have no confirmed cases of Ebola in Pennsylvania and certainly none in Allegheny County at this time. Actually being at risk for Ebola means that you have to have had some exposure, and that exposure is generally now coming from three particular countries in West Africa. This is Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. For those individuals who come from that country within 21 days, if they develop a fever, they would definitely be a group to be under investigation. As you probably know, we do not have a very large community of Africans from that part of the world. That doesn't mean there might not be a few. So most of the folks that you're talking about now, I would say, are anxious and would be very unlikely to actually be at risk for this condition.
And are there important differences that we should highlight here, that you can highlight for us in terms of symptoms, the differences between the early stages of Ebola and the flu?
Well, Ebola, first of all, it's important to understand that Ebola is not a respiratory illness. It is an illness which causes a fever, muscle aches and pains, and then goes on to cause abdominal problems, vomiting, diarrhea, etc. In the cases, again, of early symptoms, yes, you're right, they're not that uncommon compared to flu-like symptoms. But again, it's all about the history. And that is a lot of what we've worked on with our emergency departments, our hospitals, all of our providers, all of our EMS, is to make sure that people understand that there really needs to be this combination of a history and a fever to get us to be really concerned that this, in fact, might be a case for investigation.
What you're saying is not terribly different from what has been said all along since this scare began. And yet, for whatever reason, there are some who don't seem to be getting the message, who are, and it fortunately it is a relative few, but they are panicking. Why is that happening? Why are people not getting the information that they need to understand what's going on?
Well, as you can imagine, first of all, it's important to know Ebola is not new. It has been around for a while, but I think it's had, let's put it mildly, a very bad reputation and a very scary disease, given that there's no vaccine and there's no particular cure for it, and that it's called hemorrhagic fever. So it causes bleeding in various different places, vomiting, as I mentioned, all of these things. And I think the fact that there's been all of this information out there, both in terms of even movies and things like that, that it sort of bears its own particular characteristics that I think are very, very concerning to people. I think it's really important for folks to remember that realistically we've had, you know, one and now two other cases in this country. Both of the other cases related to the first one were healthcare workers who are likely to be some of the most high at risk individuals in our country, because we do have such better conditions, such better healthcare conditions than, unfortunately, in West Africa. So I think it raises all these kinds of anxieties, and people feel very out of control. I think those are some of the reasons that folks get very anxious.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, Karen Hacker of the Allegheny County Health Department, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Some people might be wondering how a medical professional working at a hospital in the United States, where presumably every known precaution is being taken, ends up being stricken with Ebola.
Well, from what we understand, and again, I think this is an ongoing investigation, it seems to have an awful lot to do with how people are using their protective equipment, and that they're using adequate protective equipment all the time. It's important to remember that the way that Ebola is spread is through bodily fluids. And as an individual becomes sicker with the condition, there's going to be a higher and higher chance of potential contamination. And so for individuals who are involved in cleaning the individual, in tending to that individual, that all of the things I just said become much more critical. And my understanding at this point is that that's where the investigations are. I think it's important to also recognize that we have had other cases of Ebola brought to this country, both in Atlanta and now in Nebraska. And in Atlanta, we definitely know that there were no additional cases related to that case. Or actually, I believe two cases, right?
In Atlanta, yes. There were two, a man and a woman who had both been in Africa.
Right.
In the country, in the affected countries that you had mentioned. Another question that comes to mind is, does it make sense that Amber Joy Vinson, and she was the nurse at the hospital, the second nurse who contracted Ebola, who had cared for Thomas Eric Duncan, that she was allowed to get on a plane in the first place, especially the return flight when she phoned the CDC to report that she was running a temperature?
Well, of course, everything now is in retrospect, correct? And I think that, you know, from all of the guidance that we have received, if a person has a fever, now they've given us a temperature that's much higher than what I understand this individual had, and perhaps that was the confusion. But our understanding is you do not become contagious until you have symptoms, the first being a fever. So the issue of having an individual in close proximity over time to someone with actual Ebola who was potentially under surveillance, traveling, yes, I think it's raised a lot of questions. But again, at that point in time, at least from what I've read, and you may even be more to date than I am, the temperature was minimally elevated to, I believe, something like 99. And
is in fact true. Yes,
women who are ovulating often get a 99 degree temperature. So, my sense is, again, only from what I've read, is that there was some confusion about what that risk might have been.
And should the people who are on the flight be worried?
Well, my understanding, and again, you may be more up to date than I am, is that there is some investigation going on now. Because Ebola is not spread via air, the likelihood of people on that plane being seriously exposed is very low. And the folks you would be most concerned about would be people who were literally sitting next to the individual who may have then had contact again with bodily fluids. That's really what it's all about here. So my thought, again, is that the risk is going to be very low.
Some lawmakers, and I mentioned the hearing that is being held in Washington today by Congressman Tim Murphy of the Pittsburgh area, focusing on breaches in protocol established by the CDC. Some lawmakers have renewed calls to simply ban travelers from countries affected by the outbreak. Should that be done, in your opinion?
Oh, this is a very complex question. First of all, I don't believe that it's possible to ultimately ban all people in a country from moving out of that country. Borders are permeable. And I think that one of the concerns is if you do something like that and ban travel of people who really don't have a high risk, except that they happen to have been in that country, meaning that they haven't been anywhere near anybody with Ebola, You know, there's risks to that as well. There's risks of people who might be sick crossing borders, going into other countries to get out, all those types of things. There's obviously economic concerns about the country and making sure that's what we really need to be doing. And I think this is also coming across as we've got to figure out how to control the epidemic in those countries. That's absolutely critical. And the question of how closing borders might impact our ability to do that, I think, is one of the things being discussed. So I don't think there's an easy answer to that. I think that there are going to be voices on both sides.
And as far as the precautions, Dr. Hacker, that are being taken in the Pittsburgh area, as far as what you know and as far as what you are advising health organizations to do, what precautions should be taken and are being taken?
So we have, we started even in September with just educational information for folks. And then with the case in Dallas, we amped up our efforts. We've spoken with all the hospitals, all the emergency rooms, the MedExpress, private doctors have gotten the messages. We've been working with EMS. We've been working with the airport. First and foremost, we want to make sure everybody understands the appropriate screening so that they are doing exactly what needs to be done when a potential case is identified. And the second thing is they need to be preparing their protocols, and they need to be understanding whether or not they can, in fact, take care of an individual with this condition. Some of that is actually practicing. We're urging people to practice what it would be like up to 10 patients. Some hospitals in New York, we've even heard, are sending people into emergency rooms as, you know, with symptoms to see what happens, to see if they can test out their responses. As you probably know, there's a great deal of effort now going into people testing out, putting on and taking off their protective equipment so that they don't create any of these breaches, and then they know what they're doing with that.
And isn't there even
the things that we're all working on.
I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but isn't there even the idea that there should be a person who monitors the people as they take their equipment on and off?
Absolutely. And from what I understand now, CDC will be on the ground if there are cases identified to actually assist with that.
We have we'll end on this comment from Daryl on Twitter, who says the Ebola misinformation seems to be politically driven. Is this related to the president and the midterm election? I don't know if you want to tackle that or not.
I don't think I really want to comment on that.
I'm not surprised that you didn't, but Daryl, perhaps reflecting the opinions of some about some of the misinformation that might be floating around out there. Karen Hacker is director of the Allegheny County Health Department. Dr. Hacker, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and please feel free to contact us again.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Coming up, we'll discover how the Quality of Life Technology Center is making life easier for our aging population. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.